Welcome to the We Like to Say We're Experts podcast, where we go over noteworthy news, pop culture, and everything in between. And now, your hosts, Evan and Nicole.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another Wizarding Week here at the We Like to Say We're Experts podcast. Myself, Evan, and my lovely co-host,
Nicole.
We're going to be diving into Book 5 today, The Order of the Phoenix.
Yeah, and before we jump in, just a few quick news stories, as usual. And oddly enough, they're both Star Wars related today.
Sign me up.
So the first story that we have, Evan, I showed you this picture, and I'll post it on our social media accounts, but a Jamaican man who won the lottery, he won $600,000. He wanted to disguise his identity, which, I don't know how it is in Jamaica, but I know in the U.S., some states, like, you can't be anonymous. So he probably didn't want people hitting him up and knowing who he was. So he decided when he went to get his pictures taken with the big check, he was going to dress up as Darth Vader. And I think the pictures are pretty funny. Like I said, I'll definitely share them. So, yeah, he said that he was just really lucky to get the ticket because, like, he doesn't usually buy lottery tickets and he ended up winning and he wants to get a house. But I just think it's hilarious that he dressed up as Darth Vader. I like the idea of being anonymous because I feel like if you win the lottery, like, you might tell your family and friends, but, like, announcing it, I feel like you're just all these people that, quote-unquote, know you are going to, like, come out of the woodwork and be like, hey.
I wouldn't even tell my family.
Like, you're rich. I mean, I'm not saying, like, I might tell, like, close family. No. You wouldn't tell, like, your mom?
Maybe. But, like, I don't know. It just opens up to a whole can of worms.
Yeah.
Because then everyone, most likely, people that you tell on your family are going to tell other family members.
Yeah.
And you're going to have, like, your third cousin Larry hitting you up for a bunch of money.
Wouldn't it be weird if, like, one day, like, we just had, like, millions of dollars and, like, people would be like, why are you so rich? Like, what are we gonna say? What would you say?
Nunya. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there is that method that you can go with. But I don't know, this picture really made me laugh and it made me think of you, Evan, because I feel like this was something you would do. Like, you would dress up as a Star Wars character.
It's a way to do it.
Yeah.
Complete anonymity. Complete anemones.
All right, and our second story today, as I mentioned, also has a Star Wars tie-in. So Disney Plus is going to be doing a show with Obi-Wan Kenobi, which I believe is, it's not animated. It's actually, like, him.
Sad.
I don't know. I don't have any ties on this, but anyways. So, they're talking about this live-action TV show and this news article that I found, and they mentioned that it is going to tie in more what happened in the Clone Wars. Like, are you excited to see Obi-Wan and, like, more of that?
Not in live-action, but yes.
I don't know, I think it could be interesting.
I think they could do more if it was not live-action. I think live-action sort of restricts the scope of what you can do in the show.
Yeah. I wonder, like, if, because they're doing this Obi-Wan show live action, and they always have, now they have The Mandalorian Season 2, would those ever cross over, or he's dead by the time?
He's definitely dead, because Mandalorian takes place after Episode 6.
And which movie does Obi-Wan die in? 4?
Episode 4.
Okay. Yeah, he...
Come on, Nicole.
I always forget when The Mandalorian takes place. It's the most recent one, right? Like, it takes place before 7.
Yeah.
So it's between 6 and 7.
It's after the good empire goes down and before the knockoff empire comes to power.
Okay. Yeah, it's...
We could turn this into another episode where I complain about the sequel trilogy.
That's okay, but it does say that we are going to see more flashbacks to Clone Wars in this new TV show, so if that's something you're interested in, definitely get Disney Plus. Watch a bunch of Star Wars content.
Please sign my change.org petition to change it to an animated show instead of live action.
All right. You really like want that, don't you?
I really do. I think it would be better. Especially after seeing how well the Clone Wars came out.
I have no horse in this race, so I can't say yes or no.
Get out of the racetrack, then.
Well, those are the only two news stories that we had for today, so we're going to take a quick break, and when we're back, we're going to talk about Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
welcome back, everybody, and we are going to jump into Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. And unlike Goblet of Fire, we do go back to the Dursleys this year, and we do see Harry, he's, you know, living another summer with his aunt and uncle, and he ends up making an uh-oh stinky, but, like, accidentally, kind
of. Does he, though?
So, he's, like, out... Like, he's outside, he's at, like, a park, and Dudley, who all of a sudden grew, like, 10 feet between movie 3 and movie 5, is, like, a full-on adult teenager at this point.
He's got, like, the deep voice yeah. and, like, the stash that he couldn't quite shave
yeah.
off.
Yeah. So he runs into Harry, and he's kind of, like, teasing him, and then all of a sudden it gets, like, really dark, looks like almost like a thunderstorm is going to take over, and all Harry and Dudley's friends are like, okay, we're going to go back inside. Harry, knowing that him and Dudley could die, decides to perform a Patronus charm, which expels the Dementors away. But because he's not supposed to do magic under the age of 17, unless he's in school, the Ministry of Magic sends him a letter and says he's expelled from Hogwarts. And he ends up going upstairs. He's, like, upset for the night. And then that night we hear a knock at his bedroom door, and we see Mad-Eye Moody again, but the actual real... Mad-Eye Moody.
Not the fake one.
Yeah, Mad-Eye Moody.
Not Barty Crouch Jr.
Yeah. We also see Lupin again, and we meet a couple of new people. Nymphadora Tonks.
Spoiler alert, all of these people are the Order of the Phoenix.
They are. And we also meet Kingsley Shacklebolt, who works for the Ministry of Magic. And they fly each on the brooms, and they take Harry to number 12 Grimmauld Place, or the home of Sirius Black, which also serves... as the headquarters of the Order of the Phoenix.
Sirius? Order in the Order of the Phoenix? Lupin's in the Order of the Phoenix? Yeah. Dumbledore, founder of the Order of the Phoenix,
yeah.
I think? Harry, or James and Lily Potter, also in the...
In the original
in
one.
The OG's
yeah.
Order of the Phoenix?
And Neville's
dead,
parents
though.
Were...
Neville's parents in the Order of the Phoenix?
Yeah.
Also
it was...
dead.
I think they're actually still alive, but we'll come back to that. There's something
Wait.
They left out in the book. Or left out in the movie that they changed from the book.
Right.
They didn't die. They were just, like, basically confuddled into being mentally ill. Like, they had that torture charm used on them, and now they're, like, mentally ill. It comes up in the book. Like, we see something about it, but it doesn't come up in the movie. You're reading my mind. I was going to mention that
betrayed.
Later on. Yeah. So, basically, the Order of the Phoenix was, like, a secret organization that Dumbledore formed back when Lord Voldemort was growing. Like, when Harry's parents were... Before Harry's parents died... And now they're reforming again. So then Harry learns that he has a hearing before getting expelled. So he goes to the hearing, which is at the Ministry of Magic. And we see Cornelius Fudge, the Minister of Magic again, who is like...
Voldemort's not real!
Yeah.
Nothing's real! La 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 la! Everything's fine.
Right. He's basically just like, oh, none of this is happening. It's fine. And we also meet Dolores Umbridge for the first time. She's like on the court.
Oof.
And she basically is like, why would Dementors be in your town? Like, it's fine.
And Harry's like, they were,
they
though.
Were.
We were dying.
Yeah, like, what did you expect? So, almost narrowly doesn't happen, but it ends up being reversed that he can go to Hogwarts. And when Harry returns to Hogwarts, we learn that the new Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher... is in fact Dolores Umbridge.
Surprise, surprise, that terrible lady's back again.
And she ends up, like, making this speech that it's, like, when you read between the lines of the speech, it's basically saying, like, the ministry is controlling, like, Hogwarts.
Yeah, it's like the ministry owns you.
Yeah.
They're,
like
we're only going to do ministry-approved stuff from now on. And then when they get to when she gets to her first class in teaching Defense Against the Dark Arts, she's like, we're going to learn about the theory of Defense Against the Dark Arts. Like, they're not going to practice it,
yeah.
sort of thing. Because they don't want... They think that Dumbledore is trying to, have the students get powered up so he can take over the ministry for no reason. Who cares about the ministry? You know? It's
like
a bunch of,
issues.
It's just a bunch of stupid offices. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Except for that one room. That one room kind of matters a little bit. We'll get back to that.
And we actually see Harry in the first class. He's like... Voldemort returned, and Dolores is like, that's a lie, and he has to be punished, and how is he punished, Evan?
Harry has to write, I will not lie, I think is the exact thing on a parchment, but he has to use Dolores's special quill that burns the words into his skin, which is a little, little bad.
Medieval.
A little torture. Medieval, yeah.
Yeah. So after this happens, Hermione and Ron are like, more Hermione, but she's like, we need to start learning these spells. Like, we might need to use them in the real world. So we're going to form a secret group.
Dumbledore's
army that he's actually not involved in.
It's because they thought Dumbledore was making an army.
Yeah. And so they get like a bunch of students that learn it. And they find this room called the Room of Requirement, which is basically a room in the castle that you can't find until you're like, you have a need for it. And it'll appear like, the room appears differently to people. Like, I don't know if this is mentioned in the movie, but it's mentioned in the book. They're like, if you're wandering around and you have to go to the bathroom, but you won't make it in time, like the room of requirement will appear as a toilet.
I gotta jump out for a sec for be a little meta. You know when J.K. Rowling was writing this, she's like, how the fuck do I get like 30 kids in a secret place to train in magic? Magic room.
Right. Another difference from the book to the movie was in the movie, Neville stumbles across the Room of Requirement and shows it to the group. But in tradition with the movies, Dobby, who works at Hogwarts at this point, he actually finds it and tells Harry. So in the books, we've seen Dobby in book 4 and 5 now. But in the movies, we have not seen him again
since
2.
Yeah.
So they're just like, oh, well, we didn't include that he works at Hogwarts, so Neville will find it. So that's a difference. It ends up telling the group.
That works for me.
Yeah. It's like a small difference, but I just thought I would call it out. So they learn Patronus charms. They learn Expelliarmus. They just learn like basic defense skills, essentially. And another thing is, this is when we realize Harry still likes Cho Chang, and they end up having their first kiss after one of the Dumbledore's army
meanwhile,
meetings.
Cho is like, oh yeah, Cedric's dead.
Next major scene that happens in this movie is Harry has a vision involving an attack on Arthur Weasley, which is Ron Weasley's father.
Artie Weasley.
But he's visioning it like he's the one attacking Arthur, so like we see a snake attacking Arthur, and Harry's point of view is like he's the snake in the dream. Harry ends up going to Dumbledore to, like, tell him, hey, Arthur's been attacked, which did actually happen. So they were able to save Arthur Weasley. He goes to a hospital, which they don't show this hospital in the movie, but they do in the book, and I'm going to talk about that in a second.
Is it a magic hospital?
It is. So Dumbledore is concerned that Voldemort's going to exploit his connection to Harry. So he has Severus Snape teach Harry Occlumency, which is, like, basically how to defend your mind against intrusion. But this kind of like makes Harry very like isolated from his friends. Cause he doesn't really talk to his friends about like the Occlumency and like what's going on. So,
Harry's very alone in a good chunk of this movie.
Yeah. And then the next thing that happens is we see Sirius Black's, deranged cousin, Bellatrix Lestrange, who's a Death Eater, escape from Azkaban with like 8 or 9 other Death Eaters.
I got a question about this scene.
Okay.
So this scene's dumb, I think, personally. Because you got, all right. Setting this scene.
Yeah.
You got a big prison.
Yeah.
Azkaban is essentially the Riker's Island of wizards and magic. You know, it is literally just a tower coming straight out of the sea.
Yeah.
And then when they show Bellatrix escaping, like, part of the tower exploded for some reason. And also, what about Barty Crouch Jr.? Didn't he go back to Azkaban?
He did.
But he has not come up, at least in the books, at all.
I don't think he comes up again.
This is dumb. I thought his character was interesting.
I agree. I just don't think, to my best knowledge, he does not come back.
Rowling forgot!
Yeah, David Tennant doesn't come back, so he's definitely not in the movies.
Oh, spoilers for the last 3 movies!
I didn't know you were going to be that upset about it.
I like spoilers.
All right.
But I like David Tennant.
Yes.
I like Barty Crouch Jr.
Yeah, well, that was a one and done rule.
It's over.
We're not going to see him again.
Got it.
Telling you,
ever since 2, it's been going downhill.
What? 4 is great. It's just getting better and better because it's like more dark and more serious.
You mean 5's great?
I'm saying since 4, like it's been getting better and better.
It doesn't have a giant basilisk though. But anyhow.
Anyways.
Yeah, so this scene, I don't know. What about the Dementors? Supposedly.
Yeah, I don't know. They're sleeping on the job.
Dementors are in Dark Lord's back pocket.
Probably.
They're evil. He's evil. Come on. Dementor is definitely
evil.
Oh,
yeah. I agree.
I got questions
probably
for who created the world, but like, Dementors. Why? Where do they come from? Why did people decide it would be good to use them on prisoners? They literally eat your soul. They look spooky.
I don't have these. They make for
ice.
You.
They make ice come out when they show up. It's so bad.
Yeah.
They're like every evil trope.
I don't have these answers for you.
And then when they need it, they're gone. What's the deal with it?
Well, you can write to J.K. Rowling and ask her.
Sure, I will not get a
questions. And then finally, Umbridge basically has this like squad that she forms with like Draco Malfoy. Ooh. Called the Inquisitor Squad.
Called the Rude Dudes.
Yeah, basically, which ends up exposing Dumbledore's army because Umbridge forces Cho Chang to drink Veritaserum, which is like a truth serum. And in the scene, Fudge, who's the Minister of Magic, comes back. He's gonna arrest Dumbledore, but Dumbledore's like, no you, and he just basically claps his hands, and he's gone. So there's a couple things I wanted to point out here. This is a couple differences from the book. So the first one was that after Arthur gets attacked by the snake, he's sent to St. Mungo's Hospital for Magical Maladies and Injuries. That's the name of the hospital. And he was placed in a ward for creature-induced injuries. When they are visiting Arthur, two things. First, Harry sees Neville because Neville's visiting his parents because his parents live there permanently because, like, they were tortured into insanity. And then the second thing is, they don't show this in the movie, but Gilderoy Lockhart also lives permanently at St. Mungo's because, remember, he, like, had that charm backfire on him and he's all, he doesn't remember who he is. So he, like, he meets Harry and he's like, Harry, my boy, I heard you're famous. Like, he doesn't remember who he is, but he knows he's Harry Potter.
That would... So, again, 2 is the best movie because that's a movie that happened in. But if that had actually hit Harry and Ron, like, they would be just... They'd have no idea what's going on.
Yeah. So that's in there. And then also, in the book, Cho Chang does not rat out Dumbledore's army. It's one of her friends. Moretta, I think, is her name. I forget exactly what happened, but she ends up, like, going to Umbridge and, like, complaining that. So, like, the truth serum, all that, like, that didn't happen. So a couple other small things before we get to the end. One, we find out that Hagrid has, like, a secret half-brother giant named Brock that he's, like, keeping in the forest. One other thing is that Umbridge basically threatens to use, like, the unforgivable curses on Harry to, like, find out, like, what's going on, like, what's the deal with, like, the whole army, like, what's their whole plan.
Umbridge is evil.
Yeah, and Hermione's like, oh, well, the secret's in the forest, like, we have to take you to the forest. So all the kids and, like, Umbridge go to the forest, and basically what happens is, like, Umbridge insults, like, the centaurs that live there and Grop, so they, like, attack her. And then she's like, Harry, tell them I'm good. Like, tell them to let me go. And Harry's like, I must not tell lies. Bam! And then they all leave to go to the Ministry of Magic.
Well, yeah. Also, for the rest of the movie, Dolores has just been awayed by centaurs, which is pretty fitting. She doesn't die, though.
No. She's gonna come back.
Spoiler. She is?
She's gonna come back in the last one.
Oh, spoilers!
Does it really bother you?
I'm
sorry.
Like spoilers.
Okay. No one comes back. Everyone dies.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Movie's over.
Yep. So we're going to go to the Ministry of Magic, and why are we going there, Evan?
We're going to go there because Harry saw another brain link prophecy about prophecies where Voldemort is torturing, is it Sirius?
Yes.
And he's trying to get, like, this magic orb because all prophecies in the Ministry are, like, contained in orbs for some reason.
Yeah.
But the only person that could touch the orb and find the prophecies is the one who it is about.
Yep.
Which leads to this massive bamboozle, because they go to the Ministry, obviously, because Harry's got to investigate everything. It turns out this prophecy was for Harry, so they needed Harry. And it was a trick, not a treat!
Yeah, he was tricked. So there's kind of a big difference of how this scene happens in the book versus how it happens in the movie. So in the movie, Harry Potter doesn't hear the prophecy that is told until he holds the orb in the Department of Mysteries. But in the book, Dumbledore tells him about the prophecy ahead of time because I believe Sybil Trelawney, who was, like, that teacher that, like, helped you, like, look into the future and stuff, she was the one that made the prediction to Dumbledore back in like 1980s or whatever. And that she says a boy born at the end of July is destined to defeat the Dark Lord. And when Sybil tells this prophecy back, you know, back in the day, part of this was heard by Severus Snape, but he doesn't hear all of it. So because he's like a double agent, he tells Lord Voldemort, and they interpret that it's Harry Potter. But we learn in this book that Neville's also born at the end of July, so it could have been Neville.
Could be another one.
But because Snape didn't hear everything, he like didn't have time to like think that it could be Neville too, so he just assumed it was Harry. So it's kind of like Snape's fault, like unintentionally, that like Lord Voldemort thought it was Harry.
Snape's a rude dude.
I mean, I get he was a double agent, and like we're gonna learn a lot more about that in the future, but yeah, that was kind of like glossed over too.
Interesting. That's an important piece of info.
Yeah. One other fact is the Ministry of Magic, like all the scenes that take place there, it took 22 weeks for them to build. But it really only appears in the movie for like 10 minutes or less. And
that is such a waste.
And they basically had to destroy it all because of like the fight scenes that happened at the end. And the Room of Prophecy was Harry Potter's first fully digital set. So like they didn't build any of that. It was all like green and blue screen.
Good. They filmed that. Front.
But like a lot of the Ministry of Magic that they do with the fight scene, like that was built just to destroy. And it took them like months to build it. And then like a couple minutes to take it down.
Like almost half a year to build
it. And then just like bam. Gone. Yeah. So would you want to go over for our listeners kind of how the movie wraps up with like the fight scene and everything?
All right, this is it. We got the prophecy and then we're going to leave. We're running away from Death Eaters, one of which is obviously Lucius because Lucius is bad.
Bad boy.
So they find a door and then they just like fall into a hole. And then there's just like this arch in the center of the room, which is like a gateway to death. It's like the gateway between worlds.
Yeah.
Ho ho. All right. Harry's got the prophecy. Harry's got his friends. Death Eaters show up. And then who else shows up? The good version of Death Eaters, the Order of the Phoenix. Fight ensues. TLDR, Lucius is a chump.
And then we see Bellatrix Lestrange kill her cousin, Sirius Black, and he like floats into like the arch that crosses over. This is like the saddest scene. I remember crying when I was reading it and crying watching the movie. And so because Emma Watson was on set that day, she saw the scene happen. And I was reading in an article that this, like, she just lost it when she saw like the death scene happen and Sirius die. Like even watching the movie, she said it was like the hardest thing up until that point to like watch. Cause like it's a gut punch. Like it's a big death. Like, yeah, Cedric Diggory died, but
he was introduced Black. To that movie.
Yeah. Like you kind of think that this is Harry's godfather, and you think like he's always going to be there to like watch Harry
Harry's
and stuff.
Harry's like last real family. Sort
yeah. And then Voldemort appears, and Dumbledore and Harry end up like dueling with him.
Wizard fight.
And winning. And then as soon as like Voldemort's going to disappear because he realizes he's not going to win, some of the Ministry of Magic shows up, including Fudge. And Fudge, who's the Minister of Magic, was basically like, oh, yeah. Like, okay, Voldemort is back, and Dumbledore's a good guy again. Dumbledore, your headmaster.
Yeah, right? This again. Was, like, the best ending. He was like, yep.
Yeah.
He's there. I was wrong.
And it kind of wraps up where he's just Harry and Dumbledore talking, and Harry kind of realizes, like, I can't live if he is going to live. Like, one of us has to die and kill the other person. Mm. Like, they both can't survive, which is kind of, like, what's called out in the prophecy. So this is, I mean, you kind of, like, it hints at it, like, after Goblet of Fire, but you're like, okay, Harry has to be the one to kill Voldemort. Like, that's the only way he's going to go down, and if he doesn't want Voldemort to kill him. So, and we're going to learn in the sixth book slash movie, essentially how we can kill Voldemort. There's a little bit of a way that that goes about, which we'll talk about next episode.
No spoilers!
No spoilers. But I really like this movie. I think, like I said, after 4, it just starts to get really, I hate to say it, but it starts to get, like, really real. Like, the stakes are really real. Yeah. Like, anyone can die at any time, and no one's safe.
That's true. It really ramps up.
I think that's all I had for this episode, and we'll be back next week, which is gonna be what movie?
It's gonna be episode 6, Phantom Menace. No, wait, let me try again. It's gonna be episode 6, Half-Blood Prince.
We'll see you guys then.
Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to our show. Make sure to like our Facebook page through our link in the show notes or by searching We Like to Say We're Experts on Facebook. See you next time.